Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we hope your Tuesday is treating you good out there. Mm-hmm. We got some fun stuff lined up this hour. Then a Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. We got a little entertainment news we'll get to. And we're hoping to be joined by Bill Heck with our monthly Veterans Update.
Yeah.
Looking forward to talking with Bill and catching up with him. As we are kicking back and waiting on that, I thought we'd go over our schedule a little bit for the week. And let's focus in on Morning Magazine for the week, Melissa.
Yeah, we've got a great lineup for Morning Magazine this week. Starting off today, part one is Port Edwards School District Administrator Jim Bina.
Yeah. Looking forward to Jim being in studio with us, especially this time of year. Going to be great to talk to him and find out a little bit more about what's going on in the public Port Edwards area.
Well, and we joked earlier about, oh, they got nothing going on.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is an incredibly busy time for them. So how awesome for him to make time coming in.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then in part two, SWC YMCA sponsored by Tri-City Services.
Yeah, Southwood County YMCA going to be here. We get to catch up with them. A lot of things going on over there at the Y, of course. And any chance we get to kind of find out about some of the fall stuff that they have lined up and different events that coming, going to be fun.
Oh, I'm sure they have some new different things going on.
Oh, yeah. Did a bit of a deep dive this weekend on our Y, and man, there's a lot going on over there.
Well, then on the 7th, the entire hour is going to be spent with Wood County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, always a good opportunity to hear the guilt in my voice. No, it's we love talking with Sheriff Becker. We love talking with our Sheriff's Department and catching up with them. This is going to be a great one. Along with them being in, of course, you will count on Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here to record as well. But I believe Taylor will probably be here. So
nice.
Always fun to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And a very informative and fun hour.
Yes. And then on the 8th, we have the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School Children's Theater in part one.
Yeah, we get to be joined by Rams. You had me at Kids in Theater. Like, all in on that one. Uh-huh. I cannot wait for that interview.
And in part two, UW Extension Wood County with Jackie Carantini.
Yep. You know Jackie Carantini. She's joined us on these airways for years. I turn Jackie's mic on and I get out of her way. I just let her do her thing. Jackie does not need me. She just turn the mic on and she can do her thing. She's
I'm sure she'll have a lot of great information, though, on what's going on in the county.
Yeah, Jackie covers such a wide gamut of mental health, of finances, of different things. So every time she joins us, it's always an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then on Friday in part one, you have the United Way.
Yeah. Yeah, we never get to talk to them. No,
I know. That'd be great. I wish they would come around more often.
It's a busy time of year for the United Way, and catching up with them every chance we get.
Mm-hmm. And then in part two, visit Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun interview. Usually we get to put the focus on something in the area that entertainment-wise or sports-wise that we don't always get a chance to really dive into.
Well, and you want to promote your tourism of what we have locally here in the city, and there are so many wonderful things to see and do in Wisconsin Rapids.
We are looking forward to also getting our sports schedule to you all. We'll be doing that shortly, and plenty more coming up throughout the week, because this is just the stuff we know about. We do a lot of live radio around here, people. Who knows what could happen?
Right.
We've got a lot of other fun things lined up for you, too. Just keep on listening. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be down at the Friends of Wisconsin Rapids Music Fest on Saturday, right?
That's right. I will be emceeing FRM Fest this year, as I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a blast. And since you brought it up, I was going to save it to the good stories of the day. Let's go ahead and do it now.
All right.
I'm calling audible here. Because this Saturday is FRM Fest right at Robinson Park from noon to 9. And it is a free concert. It
yes.
is a fun concert. They're... So if you haven't been to an FRM Fest, that's how I'm going to approach this right here. Let's say you haven't been. If you've been to Robinson Park, you know the layout of Robinson Park. You kind of go from the parking lot to walk over to the section, the stage, and all these other things. As you're walking along that way, there's going to be a bunch of vendors.
Yeah.
Which is great to be able to help promote them and then promote their businesses and being able to, just buy local, shop local, that kind of thing. That's before you've even gotten to the stage. Once you get involved, you will see a bunch of great local food places and food, vendors that we've come to love over the years.
And they also have wine and beer for adult participants.
Include you to, encourage you to get an FRM shirt. Mm-hmm. Not only are they awesome this year, but they every year they're great.
Now, I love mine from last year.
Yeah.
I wear it quite often.
It's a good shirt. It's mm-hmm. a good shirt. So there's a lot of different things like that you can enjoy.
Well, and then the kids zone. Yes. They have an entire area just for the kids. They've got kid karaoke. They've got kid crafts. They've got just things for them to be creative with and have fun.
I know Connie's daughter, Lindsay's going to do some face painting, I believe.
Okay, and I think they'll have inflatables again.
Yeah, I believe so. Last year, I don't know if they'll have it again this year. Last year, they had a group of Native Americans come in and had a couple of long conversations about their music and some of the things that they do. And it was just beautiful. It was awesome. It was so much fun to listen to those guys and hear some of their conversations. Mm-hmm. So that was all really good. And then, oh yeah, there's the music.
Oh yeah.
Which Connie and the gang do such an amazing job of. It's a fest, so you're going to have different styles of music. You're going to have different fan bases.
I think they got them all this time.
They really do. I feel like they covered every single music genre.
Maybe not hip hop.
Maybe not.
But there will be, you know, hints of it here and there probably.
Things kick off this Saturday at Robinson Park right at 1 with the Wisconsin Rapids Suzuki Violin Chapter.
Wow.
Backed by popular demand, these kids bring classic violin to the mainstream and have played for many years at their festival. Ages 4 to early 20s, here to bring some class to the event.
Nice.
Great way to really start things off.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like about that is, and I'm not saying that you don't want to just sit there in the stands and watch these kids, but with a band like that, it's more taking in the music than mm-hmm. it is sitting down and watching. So I know when every festival I've ever been to, I get there, I want to check stuff out. I want to bop around a mm-hmm. little bit and everything.
Visit the vendors, maybe get some food, because it's right around lunchtime.
I think that is literally the best intro band you could have because you're not so locked into the seeing what is the lead singer going to do? Or what is this going to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, moms, dads, grandmas, aunts, and uncles are going to be in the seats.
Definitely. I may be in the seats for a little of it, but I'm a sucker for string instruments, especially the violin. Mm-hmm. That is going to be beautiful. Jordan Bain and Save Point coming in at 2 o'clock this Saturday. Save Point is a four-piece rock band hailing from Stevens Point. Their original and cover songs fuse blues, indie, and classic rock, country, western, hip-hop, and jam band styles.
Ooh, hip-hop, there it is.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Yeah, and Jordan's been on the airwaves with us before. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented.
Nice.
It's a fun band.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice way to get things...
get you up and moving.
Whereas the band before, the Suzuki, the Symphony Kids and mm-hmm. stuff, it kind of eases you into things.
Right.
By 2 o'clock, you're going to want to get this thing going.
Yeah.
And that's Jordan and the gang. They'll be able to do that. They'll be able to kick things off really good. 3 o'clock, the Sarah Rifleman Jazz Trio. Sarah's got a busy day Saturday. More on that in a little bit.
Okay.
The Sarah Rifleman Jazz Trio features a combination of fresh original jazz compositions steeped in the traditions of the genre, as well as innovative and exciting arrangements of some of the group's favorite popular pop rock songs. Sarah does a couple of different versions of songs that you're not going to hear it any other way. You haven't heard a version like her.
That.
Their version. She's incredibly talented. That whole band is very talented.
Nice.
At 4 o'clock, the Blue Monday Band.
Ooh.
Yeah, they've been performing in this area for a long time. Blue Monday Band performs a variety of blues originals and blues styles. It's a fantastic band. I love those guys. Got a couple of... longtime favorites in that band, too, like Kevin Stellman, used to be a songwriter and founder of the Otis and the Alligators, and some other great guys, too. Let's see. Brad Jansen and High Tide. Brad Jansen is a musician, singer, songwriter, who spent most of his life playing in many well-known Central Wisconsin bands, like Element 13, Six Strings and Stuff, Rattlesnake and Eggs, a bunch of those. He currently resides in Nashville, where he is involved with the local songwriting scene and spends his free time playing songwriting rounds and shows at local Nashville area venues.
Wow.
Brad is not only going to be performing this Saturday at FRM Fest at 5 o'clock, Brad is going to join us this Friday at 9 o'clock for FRM Fest Friday.
Awesome.
So that's going to be fun. looking forward to that.
That's great.
And that wraps up the show. No, it doesn't wrap up the show. No, it doesn't.
Those are the openers.
Yes. Alive Again, the Chicago Project from 7 to 9, that is your headliner. Mm-hmm. And when I say headliner, by every definition of the word, this band is incredible. Alive Again is a tribute to the music of the band Chicago, the legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band. Chicago had classics from the 60s into the 70s and 80s, and this band does it all. Alive Again pays tribute to Chicago's rich sound through beautiful vocals and harmonies, a tight three-piece horn section, ooh, classic piano riffs, and thrashing guitar solos, all of which are sure to take you on a trip down memory lane.
Wow.
Alive Again is made up of a selection of the finest musicians from northeastern and central Wisconsin. A lot of them, including Sarah Reifelman, plays the piano in that.
Really?
For them.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't listen to a ton of cover bands, but I checked them out a bit and was listening to them, and my goodness, it is like really unique how they sound so much like Chicago. The music and the vocals are there, but they're just different enough to make it like their own, you know?
Cool.
So it's kind of a fun combination.
That's awesome.
I like that kind of stuff. I think it's really interesting, and they are incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. And it got a lot of incredibly talented people coming together to bring FRM Fest and make it happen. We appreciate all the volunteers, all the people at FRM, Friends of Rapids Music. Encourage you to support the festival, show up, be there. Maybe, you know, get a t-shirt, get some stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just come by, spread the word about the festival. It is again this Saturday from noon to 9 at Robinson Park in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes.
It's going to be a really fun event. You can find
it's family friendly. Bring the kids. They're going to have a blast.
It's everything friendly. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, that it's family friendly. I love that I can go down there with my guy friends and have a good time, just like I can go down there with my family and have a good time. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter whoever. You go in there by yourself, you're going to have a good time. Like, it's going to be a good time this Saturday, Robinson Park, FRM Fest. Noon to 9. Go ahead and check it out. It's going to be a really good find. And you can find out more by going to frmgroup.org. frmgroup.org. Encourage you to type into your search bar on your social media apps, FRM, or Friends of Rapids Music, and like their page and keep up to date on all that they're doing. Yeah. Artists supporting artists, locals supporting local.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break right here, come back, and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:20 on the clock. Hope you're having a good start to your work week out there, and your Tuesday is treating you good.
Yeah.
We have a programming note to let the audience know about. We were going to kick off Morning Magazine for the week today. We're going to welcome in Jim Benna from the Port Edwards Public Schools District. Jim is not going to be able to make it in today.
No.
Very understandable that for day job comes first. What we're going to do right now is kind of pull an audible, everybody. Maybe we will have Bill Heck join us in the 10 o'clock hour. We're not sure. We'll see. If anything, we will have a half an hour edition of Playmakers.
There you go.
So get your sports thoughts, feelings, and ready. We'll go ahead and do that for that half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But do want to thank Jim for giving us a heads up.
Yeah.
I appreciate that and wish him and everybody over there the best of days.
Yes.
And we still have in line part two, Southwood County YMCA joining us. So
excellent.
That'll be at 10:30.
Yeah.
So touching on some entertainment news, Lynyrd Skynyrd is retiring from touring.
Really?
Yep. Singer Johnny Van Zant told a Florida newspaper, quote, "We're still looking at hanging it up in the next year or so." Mainly it's because the band's last remaining original member, guitarist Gary Rossington, isn't doing too well.
Mm.
He's only able to join the band for a few shows at a time. It hasn't really been the original Lynyrd Skynyrd
in
decades.
A long time, yeah.
But Johnny said musicians never truly retire, so he will probably still do something, even if it's just writing music.
Awesome.
And that's cool.
Well, good for him. Yeah, touring is hard work. Not that I know it personally, but from everything that I've heard and can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to have these bands around as long as we can, but I got to think that if you're the biggest Lynyrd Skynyrd fan in the world, even you understand that you've had this band a lot longer than you probably, you know, realistically could have.
Right. Well, because there's so many, you know, members that are not, I mean, only one original member still.
Yeah, yeah. I think of this every time I see that the Rolling Stones are touring it again, you mm-hmm. know, and I've been doing this for like 20 years, like since like the Steel's Wheels tours or something like that. This is probably the Stones' last tour. Like that was literally like 25 years ago. They just keep doing this. So I kind of think it must be if you are a big, big Stones fan, you got to just appreciate that you get to see them.
Right.
You know, I imagine I don't like I saw Ozzy Osbourne and like most of the original members of Black Sabbath at one of the Ozfests I went to.
Mm.
And I didn't. My dad saw the original Black Sabbath back in the day, and he was telling me about Ozzy and Ronnie James Dio and all these things. And I go to the show. I didn't expect to see that. I expected to see a 60-year-old Ozzy Osbourne. I know what I'm going to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away. That guy. Think whatever you will of Ozzy Osbourne, one of the best showmen I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
One of the greatest MCs I've ever seen.
Hmm.
We kind of joke that he's kind of a mush-mouth talker and everything. And you can't really understand him. You can live. Live. He's a different animal live.
Really?
Like, he's clear. He's conscious. He's right there. He's engaged.
Huh.
Seems like he was 30. This was, you know, 20-some years ago.
Right.
So it was a while ago. But, yeah.
Still.
I was very impressed.
Awesome.
But I didn't expect any of that. He could have came out in a wheelchair and I'd been like, yeah, I kind of thought that was going to happen. I was like, yeah. Not easy to do a song like War Pigs from a wheelchair, though.
As convincing.
Yeah. Looking at this next one here, we usually save our good stories for the end of the day. We kind of got one in our entertainment stories here, though.
Hmm.
This is the kind of thing that makes fans love you even more. Luke Combs had two concerts in Bangor, Maine this weekend, one Friday, one Saturday. But the one on Saturday ended up being shorter. He went so hard Friday night that his voice was shot.
Oh, no.
And by Saturday evening, he knew he wasn't 100%. But instead of phoning it in, he decided to refund everyone's ticket. Which is really cool of him to do.
That is awesome.
It only gets even cooler that he still performed. He was visibly upset on stage and told the crowd it just didn't feel right to charge them. So he was giving everyone a refund, but promised that he and his band were still going to, quote, put on the best free show they possibly could.
Aww, that's awesome.
Later in the concert, he said it means a lot that fans spend their hard-earned cash to be there, especially when times are tough, and he knows it requires things like babysitters and hotel rooms, mm-hmm. logistically moving things around.
Right.
For a set of parents to be able to make plans for a Saturday night. I have a feeling Luke Combs understands a little bit of what that's like, because you only know those things if you have been in that position. Like, you only, you know, so I'm not sure. I don't know his marriage situation or kid situation, mm-hmm. but it seems like he knows a little bit about that.
Well, he obviously has some insight into something to have empathy for his fans.
Yeah.
But, and hopefully he did, you know, that also to protect himself, because you can experience vocal strain that can, you know, that could stop his tour completely if he doesn't take care of himself.
I keep being told the only way my voice is going to heal is if I give it 1 to 2 weeks off. And I keep laughing at that every single time. So it's hard enough. Like, if you just told a person, say somebody who was retired, say, okay, you got to go a week without talking. Like, it'd be pretty tough to do that then.
Yeah.
Let alone when it is literally your job.
Right. Yes. When you talk for a living, it's kind of hard to stop talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe this is a good time to have a vacation.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, maybe I'll take one if Luke Combs takes one. I'll take one. No. Later in the concert, he said it just means so much to him. And he kind of started rambling and kind of talking to the audience and getting a little emotional. And one of his bandmates, I believe, said something to him like, hey, you're supposed to be resting that thing. You're supposed to be resting your book. Kind of like, let us know, Luke.
Stop talking.
That's funny. So that's why he felt like he needed to do to be on stage and go all out, even with half a voice. Because it's one thing to refund people their money, but you can't refund that time.
Right.
You can't, you know, hey, we've been waiting to go to a concert. You know, we never get out and do anything. Let's go to the Luke Combs show on Saturday and that. And you've been waiting months and months and it shows up and then Luke blows his voice out the night before, which is not, it happens.
Right.
Things come up.
He's only human.
Yeah. But you're still going to be disappointed as a fan, even if you got your refund,
mm-hmm.
to go out there and still do the same, like go out there, do even half a show.
Right. Right. Yeah. And just, I mean, who knows? Maybe he didn't sing full out. Maybe he leaned more on the band and the music. And
yeah.
I don't know if he has background singers, but.
Maybe a little of that. I will say, good on him for not, literally phoning it in with like a voiceover or something.
And the drummer's going to sing this song. Ready, go.
What I like even better is if he didn't tell him beforehand. Like, just goes out there and like points.
You got this one,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. What? There's not even a microphone near him. He's like singing as loud as he can from the drum kit. Like, oh, that's good. So a couple of other things of note over the entertainment set. I was just talking about it earlier. But the new Lord of the Rings show on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Amazon Prime and if you're paying for that already, I say get as much as you can out of Amazon Prime. Like watch their shows, even if you don't want to watch them, just to get it out. Get right. your money's worth out of it.
Right.
I gotta say though, what I said earlier, I don't know necessarily like if somebody sat me down and like, okay, what's Lord of the Rings prequel about? I don't know how much I could tell you. Because I followed it. I was there. It was interesting. It was engaging. It was a very different story.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too like blown away by the beauty of that show. It's just too pretty. It is really something where like even nowadays with all the CGI and all the modern tech that we have,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see a movie that comes out that has maybe they cut a corner here, or they cut a corner there. So the CGI isn't consistently good throughout the whole movie or TV show.
Mm-hmm.
This happens with the biggest of budgets. Even Disney has this happen and stuff.
Right.
This show, there's none of that. This show, like literally every second of scenery is beautiful. Like the colors, the design, even when they're in a darker area, like it's still lit up and it's still like where you can see everything.
Oh, that makes a big difference though, because there are some movies like the later Harry Potter movies. I didn't enjoy watching them because they were so dark.
Yeah.
And I know that they were doing that kind of on purpose to try to convey the feelings and the emotions and everything that was going on in the world, their world at that time. But if you can't see it, it's like I want to turn the contrast up on my television so I can see it better.
I've studied a lot of directors over the years, and whether it's Werner Herzog or like a Steven Spielberg or anybody, it seems to be the most consistent thing that happens to directors. It's the good and the bad, and it's the thin line between the two of my vision and getting it on screen and it being like understanding that it's not just about me.
Right.
That I'm supposed to be trying to make this, accessible to thousands or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of directors, it's just about them. It's just about their vision. Some directors have made incredibly good careers out of it and are some of the greatest we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And some are just, they make very selfish movies. They make very movies that like
hit
a very small group of people are only going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
This show, I don't think that, I think even if you don't care about like Middle Earth, Lord of the Rings, any of that junk, like I'm not the biggest Lord of the Rings fan. I watched it mainly because, again, I wanted to just see some of this, what does a $1 billion show look like? Turns out it looks really beautiful. Like it's really, like, I mean, I don't know if they made their money's worth. They're not going to make their money's worth out of this, like period. There's no way they're going to make their budget back from this move, this TV show.
Really?
It'd be tough to do it with a movie, let alone a TV show.
How many episodes is it?
I'm not sure, but I'm guessing at least 6 to 8, somewhere around there, maybe even 10.
Because they haven't released them all yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
And again, this show, we're not exaggerating. It literally cost $1 billion to put this show on total.
Total.
This is no exaggeration. Like, that's how much Amazon has spent on this show when you include advertising and all these other things. So there's just no way they're going to. But this is where things change so much with entertainment today. If I'm ABC, if I'm Fox, if I'm CBS, I try to do something like that, I literally just bankrupt my whole network.
Mm-hmm.
A whole network gone. Gone because of one idea. This has almost happened before in history and back in the day in TV shows and stuff. But so no TV network's ever going to do something like that. I'm not foolish. No,
but Amazon can afford to.
Amazon can take the hit.
Right.
Like literally can take the hit. Whatever they don't make back in the budget, they just made it while I was talking. They just made it back right then and there.
Right.
And so when Apple, when they decide to get into the streaming game, Like, that's when the game really changes. Mm-hmm. Disney is good with, I mean, obviously they got more money than Solomon. They got copyrights on Marvel, on mm-hmm. Simpsons, on this, on that. So they've got a wide variety of stuff.
Right.
And they make a lot of original content, and they've got a budget that is unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been doing content for a long time.
Right.
So
they have a huge, vast library of stuff already on their streaming service.
And they know what works for them, for their audience, so they're not going to change things up that much. If you're Netflix, if you're Apple, you have no audience. You're trying new things. You're trying to take things differently.
Amazon or Apple, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You said Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Amazon or Apple. Okay. Yeah. And with those two also, now that billion-dollar show that Amazon spent on, that's not even the biggest thing they spent last year. They spent more money on the NFL package and having Thursday Night Football and bringing in Al Michaels and this stuff. I mean, this game has changed like we've never seen it before as far as the entertainment gig. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes and how it develops, because Apple's not in the same boat as Amazon, but a pretty similar boat, where if their shows don't work out, okay, next. You know, next, we're not. There is no loss of money here. We're Amazon. We're Apple. We're printing money. So
it just makes you kind of wonder what's going to happen to Hollywood.
Well, that is the biggest fear that they have in that zip code, in the Beverly Hills area, and in that zip code, that is their biggest fear. And I have never been happier. I've never been happier about entertainment. And then entertainment to me has always been, it's not about the big, you know, name director getting his project made or whatever. It's about just film, just doing work, just entertainment, just art.
And it's not create, a monopoly anymore.
Yes. And it's not just our studio is only going to do this, and this, because we know that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
Now all these other networks are kind of like, well, that works for you. We're going to find
try
out
something else.
Yes. Huh. And that creatively pushes the envelope for all of us. And right. I think we could all use it.
Yeah.
There was a stalemate there, and it still is a stalemate in some ways with mm-hmm. the entertainment. I think we need this kind of shift up and this change. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all, you know,
shakes out
and the dust settles. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll play some news from Alyssa. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. 9:40 on the clock. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Man, Mother Nature's being nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
I was outside a little bit earlier. It is. It is a beautiful start to the day out there.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy all of it.
Yeah, take it all in. Take in as many of these days as you can. Let's be honest. Let's get as much as you can. Taking a look at some interesting stories here. This one I thought was kind of fun. The most popular Stephen King movie in each state.
Ooh, by state.
It's kind of interesting. From my mom, who obviously lives here in Wisconsin and everything, she is the biggest Stephen King fan I know.
Really?
Not a huge fan of his movies.
Okay.
Not
prefers the books.
Yeah, yeah. Just not a big into them. But I gotta say, I've seen most of them. So looking at this list, It Chapter 2, not surprisingly, is the most popular one in 12 states: Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Minnesota, Mississippi, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas.
Wow.
The first one in that, It, from 2017, the movie, 8 states: Georgia, Illinois, Maine, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Utah. Kind of gets interesting after that. Misery, which
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, and James Caan. Yeah, I almost forgot about that one. 7 states that was popular in.
Wow.
Massachusetts, Missouri, Montana, New York, Rhode Island, Virginia, and right here in Wisconsin. I'm trying to see if there's a tie between states and the like theme of these movies or anything. So just keep that in mind as we're going along here. The Mist, horrible movie. God-awful movie. Do not want... I don't recommend movies very often, and I even less do I tell people not to watch a movie.
Uh-huh.
That one, I'm doing you a favor. You are going to hate how that movie ends. It's not how it ends in the book. The director has since kind of owned it, like they were just trying to do
something else,
trying to put a twist ending. And when you force a twist ending, it never ends well. Oh my, I can't stand that. That may be the movie I hate the most in human history. I've never thought about it before. But now, as I'm thinking about it, all in the moment. I'm like, God, that angers me. It angered the movie. It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't bad. It was an average movie. It was okay. It's the last 5 minutes that makes it the worst movie in human history. It's horrible. Because it's different if you have a shock ending or a twist ending, and it fits the plot, it fits the theme, or what have you. Like the director has owned since, they were just trying to be shocking. Like, that doesn't do anything. No. It's forced. So The Mist was popular in Hawaii, Iowa, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tennessee, and Washington.
Wow.
1408. I thought that was a good movie. John Cusack, Samuel Jackson in that one. Alabama, South Carolina, Vermont, and the District of Columbia. Cat's Eye was in four states: Connecticut, Kansas, Nebraska, North Carolina. The Dead Zone in Maryland, New Hampshire, South Dakota. Carrie in Delaware and Wyoming. The Shining in Colorado. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
probably still is. Dr. Sleep was number 10 was in Alaska. Creepshow in West Virginia. And Christine in North Dakota. Creepshow is an interesting one because I don't think that was just King. I think there were some other writers involved in that one too. It's interesting to see, why is that movie that popular in that state?
Yeah.
I think that part's kind of interesting. And it's kind of interesting to see some of these older ones like The Shining or Christine in there along with the most recent It movies. And it also, does anybody else just kind of sit back and look at this and my God, that man has worked a lot.
Yeah, I had to do a quick Google search. 87 movies.
Jeez.
At least 87 movies is that's what Google says.
I don't know if they're, off the top of my head, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I don't know if there's another author that can say that. That has had that many of their stories turned into movies before. I think it plays into things a little bit that he's not a modern writer, but as far as writers are concerned, he kind of is. I know that King's first book was published in the 70s or whatever.
Right.
But
he started making movies they made them into movies in the 80s.
Yeah. But
it looks like anyway.
As far as
70s.
A lot of our most famous authors are Mark Twain, Ernest Hemingway, long gone and stuff. So he's kind of a modern writer in a sense.
Well, and they're not all horror either.
No. Yeah, I didn't see The Shawshank Redemption on this list.
The Green Mile.
Yeah. Another good one. Yeah. Stand By Me.
The Dark Tower.
The Dark Tower is a little horror.
A little sci-fi almost.
But more sci-fi. Yes, yeah. Much more sci-fi. But Stand By Me was not on this list. I thought about that too. That's based on the Body by Stephen King, the short story. Interesting. it again speaks to I really feel like in even somebody like my mom, who is the biggest King fan in the universe, I don't think we can really appreciate a guy like this, and unfortunately, until they're gone.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be crude or cruel about that. I think the King would even admit to that, not maybe about himself, but about other authors. But when you think, whether you like him or not, you got to sit back and admire greatness sometimes.
His body of work is impressive.
So his body of work is unparalleled.
Yeah.
There's literally, you can name me author after author. I counter it with this, with this, with this. I mean, not only has he, been a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author for 4 or 5 decades,
right,
which is insane in writing, especially when you consider the fact that King is doing this in a time where every couple of years something changes. Hey, there's this thing called audiobooks now.
Right.
Hey, there's this thing called the Kindle now. Hey, nobody's reading books anymore. and he's still best book after book after book.
63 novels, 120 short stories, and 20 novellas, 5 published nonfiction books. I mean, the list goes on and
get
on.
Get out of here. Get out of here with that. There ain't never going to be another King. I don't think it's not only that he's something that's original. I just don't think you're going to see another one like him. Stephen King is so good at this and been doing this so long that even his imaginary friend is a best-selling author. Richard Bachman, his pen name that he writes under sometimes. He's been doing this so long. His son, Joe Hill, it's his book name that he writes under, mm-hmm. is a best-selling New York Times best-selling author and has a show Lock and Key that he does on Netflix stuff.
That was a good show.
I like that show. Uh-huh. Yeah, I liked it too. Kids in that were great.
Oh, yeah.
This is how long he's been doing this. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have any of those movies that we mentioned of Kings that you like?
Well, see, I'm not a horror fan.
I know you're
fan,
not a horror fan. Yeah.
And I know I need to watch The Shawshank Redemption. I haven't. Mm. And I don't think I saw the whole The Green Mile.
Okay.
But my favorite book of his is The Eyes of the Dragon.
Oh, you just made my mom's day. Oh, nobody references that. That's so, that's a deep cut. Nice.
But yeah, I haven't read a lot of his other stuff because I don't like horror.
Yeah.
They're not a fan of horror.
I really like a lot of his works. My favorite book of his is The Gunslinger, which is the first in the Dark Tower
series.
And those
series. I would probably read because I think
really
that
good.
I could handle those. They're not horror.
Yeah.
They're not as like Harry or It.
No, they're a weird kind of sci-fi where it's almost like Old West sci-fi of like thing. Mm-hmm. It's very
like a Western sci-fi.
If you even sort of like Westerns, I think you would like the Dark Tower series, let alone if you like sci-fi, Western, any of that stuff.
Right.
Oh, man, it's such a good book. But I prefer his short stories. I really like his short stories. For a guy like King that could spend 5 pages talking about a doorknob, like for brains like mine that can't pay attention for that long, like he loses me sometimes and I have to reread something.
Yeah.
It's not on him. That's on me. He's a great author. We will take a break on that note and we'll come back and have some more fun with the That Ain't Right story and some good stories of the day, all coming up right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Remember that for Morning Magazine this week, we are kicking off the first part of our week with a kind of a playmaker show. We'll kind of take some sports thoughts and questions and stuff if you guys want to call in.
An improv show.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Seth and I will talk a little baseball and talk a little local sports with you. And then at 10:30, we're welcoming in our friends from the Southwood County YMCA. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the fun things that they got coming up with their fall programs.
Yeah.
That'll be good. That Ain't Right story time, everybody. This is a bad one. The way this starts is dumb, and it gets even dumber as we go along. A 25-year-old guy in Brooklyn got pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt, and instead of just taking the ticket, he decided to run.
What?
Well, he is a genius, after all. Knucklehead. He flung his car door open and hit a cop with it and then took off.
Ooh.
So a bunch of cops started chasing him on foot, but had to just stop and watch after he scaled a huge pole like 30 feet and climbed onto a subway platform. He was basically Spider-Man.
Okay.
That's where it got really dumb, because he decided his best chance to get away was by jumping from the platform onto a nearby building. And this was no easy jump. He had to make it like 10 to 15 feet to not hit the sidewalk.
Okay.
Someone got it on video, and the people on the ground kept yelling, telling him it wasn't worth it. But when he went for it, anyway, it actually landed it, after all. And then he got arrested right afterwards. Someone got it on, he hurt his leg when he hit the roof, and so he couldn't run anymore. And it's not clear if he broke it or not, but it doesn't matter either, really. I mean,
wow.
We're not going to see him anytime soon.
Well, no, because then he gets assaulting an officer, and then... What is the evading running obstruction?
I've been saying this almost as long as I've been doing a morning show. Like, I will never be able to wrap my brain around the idea of I'm going to be able to get away from these people. Like
for a seatbelt violation.
Yeah, yeah. It's always that too. It's always something like ridiculous like this.
They're just doing their job.
I mean, in a vehicle, I can give you a Maserati. And you ain't getting away from the cops, let alone in whatever vehicle you're driving. Then when you compound this and you're on foot, really?
And the fact that you could scale a 30-foot pole, sure, that's incredible. That's awesome. Do it for a better reason.
Well, yeah, yeah. And, while you're scaling that pole, Mr. Officer is here on the ground talking into his walkie-talkie. Yeah, you just want to get him right on the other side. Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, he's heading north on the subway platform, roof.
I don't think that most criminals seem to understand you're working alone. They're a team.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Radio waves, cell phones. I mean,
try to play a game of basketball 1-on-5 or a game of football 1-on-12, you know, or something like that.
It doesn't work out so well.
Spoiler alert, doesn't end well.
Because, well, you may be able to scale a pole and jump a building. You're not actually Superman or Spider-Man.
Like, you can go ahead and waste all that energy you want. Tucker yourself out, little one, because you're gonna need a nap later, and I guarantee I know where you're napping. It's got cells, bars, you got three meals a day.
Yeah, nice and secure.
Mm. Looking at some good stories of the day, two different people in Maryland just had weird lottery wins. A woman used numbers from her old license plate and won $50,000.
Huh.
And a guy used numbers from the address of a random house he walked by and won $325,000.
Oofta. Wow.
The luck. The sheer blind luck. That's crazy. A 50-year-old guy from Long Island, New York, collapsed while he was riding his bike earlier this month.
Oh, no.
And his heart stopped. But luckily, it happened 50 feet from a lifeguard station. So they did CPR for 12 minutes, shocked him twice with a defibrillator, and saved his life.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, if you're going to collapse, that's the place to do it.
That's the place to do it, apparently.
Feels like, really, like, just kind of, hey, guys, pass out.
I'm going down. Yeah.
Did you bring
the defibrillator.
Anybody tired of working on the dummy? Because I got a real body here for you. Real life experience about to happen right and now.
Wow. But 12 minutes, that's pretty incredible because, I mean, you know the statistics on how often you're able to resuscitate somebody. After they go down like that, that's incredible.
You hear stories about from people when they come back from something like that. They're always some of the wildest things you'll ever hear. Like,
right.
they're all over the map, mm-hmm. you know, and of differences in experience and stuff. But I, that's just crazy.
Wow.
An Amazon driver in Florida saw smoke coming from a house last Tuesday and called 911. Because of her, firefighters got there just in time to put the fire out and save three Boston Terrier puppies that were inside.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Aww.
That's fantastic.
That's good.
Way to be by that driver.
Yeah, right?
They didn't
kidding.
Have to make that phone call.
No.
And speaking of firefighters, a group of them in the UK helped rescue a cow last week after it got its head stuck in a tree.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's probably just trying to scratch his neck.
That's what I kind of was wondering. I didn't want to ask anybody.
Yeah, because they like to rub up against stuff and get that spot right under their chin. I would think, you know, a tree would probably be perfect for that your head stuck.
My poor sister had that happen to her when we were kids. Got her head
stair rail?
Yes.
Oh no.
I don't know if to this day I've seen a child more terrified. Because it was kind of silly and funny to us. Like,
right.
And we knew she was going to be okay. We were going to get her out just fine. Her head was actually getting kind of loose, even by some of the things I think my Nana was doing or something. Like, she put olive oil on her face or something like that. But my poor little sister was just terrified because my dad and I were teasing her. Oh, you're going to have to eat your dinners there now. Oh, you're going to have to sleep there now. You know, like, she's going to live there or something.
Oh, you guys are mean.
Oh, yeah, we're very mean. Really should not have done that. I'm a horrible person.
No. That's not nice.
No, it's not. But it was funny. She's got these big, big, beautiful blue eyes, and she's just terrified. I can still picture her face.
And you're
I
laughing.
Should not be laughing.
And you're laughing.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No,
I'm a horrible
you shouldn't
person.
Be.
thank you so much for starting your work week off with us, everybody.
Yes.
Hope you had a good start to your day. We'll be back at this tomorrow. Same usual unusual suspects. Melissa and I will be tag teaming the show together and having some fun. Looking forward to it. We got to make sure that your Wednesday is great, not only with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from Phil Hartley and our friends at Quality Plus Printing, but who knows what other trouble we'll get ourselves into. It's Melissa and I. It's live radio. No. Mel, have a great morning.
Yeah, you too, James. Thanks.
Have a good one out there. Stick around, everybody. More coming up right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.